Well, God bless everybody. In our last session, we saw that when an individual believed the gospel, when they heard the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, they found out who he is. And we saw these wonderful five records in the book of Acts. We saw that they manifested the Spirit of God. And one of the great manifestations that they manifested was the manifestation of speaking in tongues. This is not the gift. We'll get into this a little later. Speaking in tongues is not the gift. Speaking in tongues and the other manifestations of the Holy Spirit are the evidences of having the Spirit. The Spirit itself is the God-given gift that Jesus Christ said that would come. If you would, take your Bibles and go to Mark, please, chapter 16. The five records in the book of Acts teaches us that the believers should receive into manifestation when they believe. There is no record in the Word of God that people are not receiving the manifestations of Holy Spirit. And really, when it comes down to it, it is a matter of faith. It is a matter of trusting God and seeing what his word says, and then having faith in order to manifest these evidences that are in the scriptures. One of the reasons why the Christian church is so anemic in this day and time is because people have never been taught that there really even is an evidence of Holy Spirit called speaking in tongues. So if you've never been taught, you don't know what's available. And if you don't know what's really available to you and what our Lord and Savior has taught that you should manifest, then you just don't do it. And that is the case. Most wonderful Christian people are ignorant because they've never been taught that this is available. So in Mark, look at what our Lord and Savior said here again. In Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15 it says, "And he said unto them, Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." It should read, "If they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." When the Lord, just before his ascension, spoke these words, there is no doubt in anyone's mind that we are to evidence this wonderful Spirit of God. Healings and speaking with tongues are two things that follow those people who believe. That's why I said to you, it's really a matter of faith. Once you know what the Word of God says, then you can apply it in your life. If you have no idea what the Word of God says concerning these matters, then you are ignorant and will not manifest them. It's as simple as that. So what I want to get into right now is, what does the scripture teach about speaking in tongues? I want to focus on what speaking in tongues is. What did the scriptures teach about this? If you would, go to Acts chapter 2. We've been there before, but we're going back there again. In Acts chapter 2, reviewing again some of these verses that we've already previously looked at. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 11, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter and the other apostles spoke, the unbelieving, the non-Christian, let me put it that way, the non-Christian Jews who were at the temple, they weren't Christian yet because they didn't believe on Christ yet. Peter hadn't talked to them about Christ. Those individuals, when they heard these apostles, when they heard the 12 speak in tongues, they said, "The Cretes and the Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." That's what speaking in tongues does. The first thing I want to point out to you, what speaking in tongues is good for, what it does, what the scriptures speak of it and not what anybody else talks about it. It's that it speaks the wonderful works of God. When an individual speaks in tongues, they're speaking the wonderful works of God. Acts chapter 10. When the Gentiles first started to speak with tongues, as they believed the gospel that Peter was giving them. In verse 46, it says, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." The Jews, who were Christian Jews, they were Jews in background. We call them Christians because they believe on Christ. Actually, that, you know, they called them something else in the first century at this particular time. But the point is, those who believed on Christ, who previously were Jews, they were all amazed, number one, that the same thing was poured out on them as on the Jews at the beginning. They were very surprised when they heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. So speaking in tongues is speaking the wonderful works of God. It is magnifying God. Now, there is no record in the scriptures, not one single record in the scriptures, that when an individual speaks in tongues, does it give you a translation of what they said. There is nothing at all in the scriptures. We know that it is speaking the wonderful works of God, and we know that it's magnifying God. But there are records, there are many, many records in the scriptures when men and women of God spoke by the Spirit, where they magnified God and spoke of the wonderful works of God. And I'd like to show you some of these as an example of really what it is that speaking in tongues is all about. When it talks about magnifying God and speaking the wonderful works of God, if you would go to Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, in verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." This is speaking of the wonderful works of God, is it not? It is speaking of the heavens themselves, the stars, the beautiful sunset, the beautiful sunrise, everything that you see. All right, but specifically here, it's talking about the firmament, the universe, and all the stars that are in it. They declare the glory of God. The firmament, the universe, showeth his handiwork. Day unto day, they uttereth speech, and night unto night, they showeth knowledge. This is one specific record. Go to Psalm 78. What does it mean? What does it look like? What does it sound like to show forth, to speak of the wonderful works of God, to magnify God? In Psalm 78, the children of Israel are, in this particular psalm, it speaks of how God wanted them to make sure that one generation after the other would learn of his marvels, praise his holy name, and learn of his mighty works. And that one of the flaws of mankind is that they get puffed up and not consider the greatness of Almighty God. In verse 12 here in Psalm 78, "Marvelous things did God in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoran. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rock in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And yet," goes on to say, "they rejected him and did not hold him in high esteem." But is this not speaking of the great, wonderful works, the things that God has done? Think of all the scriptures that you know of God, his mighty acts, his wonderful works that he's done for his people, the creation itself, all the rest that's around that. That's what, when a person speaks in tongues, God gives them the words to speak of the wonderful works of God. One of the things that an individual, when they speak in tongues, will be speaking. Go to Psalm 29. 29th Psalm, verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now, does that mean that you're supposed to add to God's strength like a personal trainer does to an individual who's working out? You know, are you the one pumping him up? No. You're not adding anything to God, but you are giving Him from your own heart, from your own mind. You are speaking of His greatness, and He is glorified. Do you see what it's speaking of? You're certainly not adding anything to or diminishing Him whatsoever. But give unto the Lord, all you mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Go to Psalm 30. In the 30th Psalm, in verse 1, it says, I will extol Thee, O Lord. To extol, to make great. To magnify God is to extol Him, to laud Him, to esteem Him highly, to give Him glory, praise. That's what it means to magnify. Again, He is not small. You are not making Him bigger. You really are recognizing by your words and giving Him the due that He is due. Do you see what I'm talking about? I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up. Thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. And one of my favorite places to go is in Psalm 89. I think it's a beautiful place. Psalm 89, verse 5. And the heavens shall praise Thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, Thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab, it's talking about Egypt, in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered Thy enemies with Thy strong arms. The heavens are Thine, the earth also is Thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, Thou hast founded them. God has founded everything. He is the Almighty. He is the one to be given glory and praise and honor and thanks. He and He alone is the one to do these things. One of the great, wonderful things that I've seen in the Scriptures is that the first evidence of Holy Spirit that God poured out was this speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost. The first thing that these wonderful people did in that meeting that day, in that temple that day, is that God got the glory, the honor that He deserves in front of all the people. And they understood. Those people there, God had them understand it. God was worshiped. The first thing that happened is that God was worshiped and praised. That really is the priority of our Christian lives, that we are to worship and praise and give God the due that He deserves. That's what this manifestation is all about. We'll see that as we go forward here. One more place in the Psalms, another beautiful place, Psalm 107. You could read the Psalms all day long and see how God is to be glorified, magnified, extolled, praised. Psalm 150, when you get a chance, read that. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. In Psalm 107, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. See, God has always wanted His people to say, to glorify it, to speak it forth. It's not a secret. See, when you glorify God, everybody ought to know it. It ought to be let out. You know, when you see that wonderful sunset, you know, like Pat was talking about, and you see the clouds and all the gorgeous beauty of what God has done, why not tell the person next to you about the Almighty? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the land from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them, and they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of all their distress. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works unto the children of men. That's what we should be doing in our life, praising our God for all that He has done for us and for all that He has done throughout the centuries. For He satisfies the longing soul, He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the word of God and contended the counsel of the Most High. They argued with Him. Therefore He brought them down, their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. Even when the people of God turn against God, they face the consequences of their own belief and of their own actions. But when they turn to Him again, He'll deliver. He delivers them out of all their distress. And He brought them out of darkness. Verse 14, and He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. If you read this entire psalm, you'll see and understand the whole thing of life. Even when we sin and we turn back to Him, He forgives us and delivers us. How God should be praised and glorified for what He does, for His wonderful works. See, the wonderful works of God, the reason why I wanted to give you a look at some of these different psalms, it's not just talking about the creation, although the creation's a big part of it, but also the works that He's done in your life, the deliverance that He's brought in your personal life, the deliverance that He's brought throughout all the ages, through all the ages of all the men, to get us and to bring eventually the Lord back to us, where He will rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is a work that is yet to come. And yet you and I know it's going to happen, because we know that every word of God is coming to pass. Those are some of the things when it speaks of magnifying God, and when they spoke the wonderful works of God. Those are some of the things, since there is no record of any interpretation of someone speaking in tongues. But we know that these are the praises, these are the magnifying of God and the speaking of his wonderful works in the Psalms that we can see. You can look in Isaiah, you can look almost everywhere and see the works of Almighty God throughout the Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 has a lot of information concerning the manifestation of speaking in tongues that I'd like to show to you. We'll start reading in verse 14 here. It says here, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue," see the word unknown? It's in italics. It's supplied because it makes sense to supply it, but it's really not in the text. The reason why they use the word unknown is because when you speak in tongues, we're going to see this in a minute, you don't understand what you're speaking. But you can delete that word because it's in italics. "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." See what I mean? The individual is praying. So what is speaking in tongues? It's praying in the spirit. The individual praying in tongues does not know what they are praying. They don't know what they are speaking. But this is what speaking in tongues is. It is prayer in the spirit. And then again, verse 15. "What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also." See, when you pray with the spirit, you're speaking in tongues. You don't know the language. Therefore, you're speaking words that the spirit is giving to you, but you don't understand them. But when you and I pray with our understanding, in other words, when we do it from our own heart and mind, like, "Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. I thank you for this class that we're having and for your wonderful word." Those are thoughts, those are words that I thought up. I'm praying with my understanding. When I pray in tongues, the difference is I don't know what I'm praying. But we already saw from the scriptures, what are we speaking? See, so many of the Psalms are praising God in prayer. You know, if you read them that way. So it's praying in the spirit, it's called. "But my understanding is unfruitful." Verse 15, "What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." When you and I sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," or we sing, "Redeemed." What a wonderful songs. And who are we praising? And who are we giving thanks to? Almighty God. But see, we learn the songs. We learn the words that we're speaking. But when you speak in tongues, singing, when you start to sing in tongues, you are also perfectly, beautifully by the Spirit. You're beautifully by the Spirit singing to God. And that's, I'll show you here in a minute. See, you have the ability to do either. It does not say here or anywhere else in the scripture that one is preferred above the other. Both are part of your life. Both are part of your worship of God. It's an aspect of worship to give God the sacrifice of the fruit of your lips, it talks about in Hebrews. That he wants people to pray to him, to worship him, to give thanks. These are things that are due his holy name for the wonderful things that he has done. What else can mankind give to God? To recognize what he has done and who he is all that he asks. You know, I don't require as a father, I don't require my children to pay me back penny for penny for every bit of work that I've ever done for them in their life. All I have ever asked is for them to be thankful and grateful. That's all I've ever wanted. And even more so with God. How can you give the Almighty anything that He hasn't already given you? You know, you think about it that way. Verse 16 here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, "Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit." See, it's talking about when you bless. The word bless is interesting. The word blessed here means to speak well of. It is from the Greek word which we get the English word to eulogize. We eulogize God. We bless God. We're praising Him, to speak well of Him. Again, to speak the wonderful works of God, to magnify Him. When you speak with tongues, these are the things that you are doing. These are the things that are being spoken. "Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit," eulogize God with the Spirit, "how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen of thy giving of thanks?" That's also what it is. It's giving of thanks. "Seeing he understands not what thou sayest." The individuals around you don't understand what you are saying. Most folks will not understand what you are speaking. You're not going to understand what you're speaking. We saw that verse before, did we not? Let's just go back there for a second to make sure, because I want to make this point very clear. In verse 14, it says, "For if I pray with an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." My mind is unfruitful. It doesn't know the language. Here, it says the other people around you in verse 16 will not necessarily know the language. I've only seen a couple of times in my life where a person really did understand the language. But that's a needle in a haystack. That is so seldom. That is why the church, and we'll get to this later, is not to speak in tongues in the church unless it is interpreted. This whole section in 1 Corinthians 14 is to teach people who are not using the manifestations correctly to teach them what to do and what not to do. So it is, just to go over this again, to speak the wonderful works of God. It's to magnify God. It is prayer. It is to pray in the Spirit. It is to eulogize God, to bless Him, to speak well of Him, to praise Him. It's another way of putting it. It is also to giving, it's giving of thanks. Those are the things that speaking in tongues does. Now, go back to chapter 14 here. In chapter 14 in verse 2, the very important verse of Scripture. It says, "For he that speaketh in a tongue," the word unknown is scratched, "he speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Speaking in tongues is not for the sake of people. That is one thing the Corinthian church did not understand. And they are being reproved in this section of Scripture. And like I said, we'll go back and read this whole thing a little bit later. But I want you to understand something, that the manifestation of tongues is you speaking to God. It is for Him. It is to Him. These are words that you utter by the wonderful gift of Holy Spirit that you have within you. You praise God, you bless God, you give thanks unto God, you're speaking and magnifying God. You know, speaking the wonderful works of God. This is all to Him. And it's not unto men. And the reason, again, it's not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. In other words, basically I'm saying to you that nobody else is going to understand the language that you're speaking unless they are bilingual, and that happens to be one of their languages that they understand. But I want to show you something else here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, just in the previous chapter, in verse 1. In verse 1 it says, "For though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity," which is the love of God, "I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." This speaks of and speaks to the motive. And this is where I think the clarity really needs to be understood for so many people in the Christian church. When you speak in tongues, you are doing all of these wonderful things that I've been talking about. This is what the scripture speaks of, that speaking in tongues is good for. This is what it does. This is the fruit of what speaking in tongues is. When you speak in tongues, you are evidencing the Spirit. You don't understand what you're speaking, but if you don't do it for the motive of love, if you are not speaking because you want to praise God, if you're just doing it like babbling, if you're just doing it without having your mind and your heart engaged, if you're just doing it to exercise and show how important you are and how spiritually impressive you are to someone else, then you know what God calls it? Though you speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and if you don't have this love for God, if it's not for Him, it's noise in His ear. How many times in the scriptures, and I guess I'll digress here a minute, how many times in the scriptures does God really desire vain jangling? How about in Matthew chapter 5 and 6, where in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord speaks of prayer, and He says, "You are to enter into the closet of your heart, and you are to speak to God." Don't speak a lot because you think He'll be listening to your words for your much speaking. That's what the heathens do. They do it mindlessly. God wants your heart. He doesn't want lip service from anybody. And certainly this wonderful manifestation of Holy Spirit does not preclude. It does not take away the responsibility for you that in your heart you are doing this because you want to bless God. You want to praise God. You want to give thanks to God in the way in which He has given you an ability to do it. And you do it with this manifestation of speaking in tongues, and you are also to continue to do it with your understanding. He deserves it. It is not an exercise in your self-importance and looking spiritual, like this is what happened in the Corinthian church. Because you can come across, if you don't have your heart and your understanding engaged in what you are doing, if your motive isn't to give God His due, then it's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It's just a clanking, lousy noise to God Almighty. Now, is there anything wrong with the tongues? It's like the Lord's Prayer. I'll give you the example. Is there anything wrong with the Lord's Prayer? Not at all. But you can do it so repetitious and so mindlessly, it means nothing to God. You can also do that same exact prayer with all of your heart, looking unto Him and giving Him your soul, your heart, an audience with the Almighty God in that prayer. And it is fully and beautifully accepted of Him. God looks at the heart of His people, not the actions. the heart. So when you evidence speaking in tongues, I mean, how we all should want to praise and glorify God for what he has done for us. How we should seek to do that in as many ways as possible in our lives. And God has given us in this wonderful Holy Spirit, which he has given us, in this paraclete that he has given us the God-given ability to evidence this praise and thanksgiving in a wonderful way that is really totally unselfish. In other words, I get nothing out of this. I get nothing out of this. This is not for display unless it's interpreted. And when it's interpreted, the church is edified. But God is the only one that gets this. And I give it to him because we love him. It also says, just to point this out in verse 1 of chapter 13, that it is either speaking the tongues of men, in other words, a language that's here on earth, or the language of angels. And I don't think anybody in the room is going to understand that. I don't care what country they come from. But you have the possibility of the language of angels or any language that's been spoken here on earth among men. And again, this is just one of the great, this is not what worship is. This is one of the great aspects of worship. Worship is a whole lot bigger than prayer. It's a whole lot bigger than praise. It's a whole lot bigger than singing. And it's a whole lot bigger than doing it either by your understanding or the manifestation of Holy Spirit. Worship is a lot bigger subject. But this particular evidence, this particular manifestation of speaking in tongues is for God and for him alone. Go to Psalm 47. What I was saying before, I'd like to show you a verse of scripture to show you my point. In Psalm 47 and verse 7, talking about doing things with understanding. It says here, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing you praises with understanding." You are to sing unto the Lord. He is the King of all the earth. But you're not to do anything mindlessly. You are to sing unto the Lord, but do it with understanding. Who are you talking to? Who are you praising? What are you saying? Do you really mean what you're saying? I mean, when you sing these wonderful songs at fellowship, when you go to fellowship, when you go to church, and you sing these wonderful hymns and wonderful songs. Are you singing to him or are you singing out of habit? Is this just like a warm-up exercise? Or are you really giving him and thinking about what you are doing with your heart? Those are songs that he delights in. But he does not delight and people just going through religious motion. See, when you learn the scriptures, you then know what this manifestation is for. Then you have to discipline yourself to do it with understanding and not with mindless lip service. So many Christians have made this whole understanding, the whole subject of the Holy Spirit and the evidences of the scriptures so weird because they do not literally follow what the Word of God says. They make it to a point and place where individuals, great individuals, their emotionalism, their sensationalism, that comes out of their lives has driven more people away from understanding that the Spirit of God is for. Here is a manifestation speaking in tongues that is to praise and give glory to God Almighty. And yet, because of the sensationalism of a few, because of the error of many Christians who do not explicitly follow the teachings of the Scripture, they have queered the manifestation of speaking in tongues. This unscriptural behavior has prompted many God-fearing people to reject the entire subject and say that this was only for the first century church. This was only for the apostolic age. I want to show you what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 speaks of and look at the context of this. Because the church in Corinth was reproved for their misuse of the manifestation of tongues. The impression that you get when you look at this section is one of great zealousness among the people, self-centered people causing disorder and confusion, interrupting one another, and seeking a self-importance rather than seeking the edifying of the church. That's really what this whole section is, the flavor of this entire section. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, start in verse 1. It says, follow after charity. Follow this love and desire spiritual gifts. The word gift is in italics. It should be dropped. The word spiritual is the word pneumaticos, which means spiritual matters. So follow after this love of God and desire spiritual matters, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh with a tongue, he speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. When you're speaking, it's a mystery to you, because you don't know what you're saying. But he that prophesieth, he speaks unto men, to edification, exhortation, and comfort. See, when the manifestation, the evidence of prophecy, which we'll talk about in another section, is used, this is to the church. This is to the people in the church. This is its purpose. And it is to edify, exhort, and to comfort. He that speaketh with the tongue, he edifies himself. But he that prophesy, he edifies the church. I would that you all spake with tongues. It is absolutely the will of God for his people to speak with tongues. As we saw in those five records in the book of Acts, there is no place in the Bible, well, there is a place in the Bible that I'm going to get to a little bit later, and I also spoke of it before. It tells you when this ceases. It ceases when the Lord returns. But there's no place in the Bible that says it's not for today. It's not for the church today. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. But more and more prophecy is to be done. Where are we speaking about? We're speaking about here in the church at Corinth. Remember, this has a context. The church at Corinth was doing a lot of speaking in tongues, and they're going to be told this is wrong. You don't speak in tongues out loud in the church unless you interpret it. Rather, in the church, more and more prophecy is to be done. It says here, but rather that you prophesy, then he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you, except I shall speak unto you either by revelation or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? What is the point of me speaking in tongues here in this body of believers, or in this class, if you don't understand what I'm saying? The only way that there would be a profit to it at all is if God said to somebody, well, you better do this out loud, or I'm teaching you about it, doctrine, or for some other method. But in general, there's no profit. What shall it profit you? And that's what he's going to do in this section. Verse 7. and even things without life-giving sound. Even things without life-giving sound, whether piped or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped and harped? Any musical instrument, unless there's a distinction in the notes, you don't know what song it is. Did you ever listen to somebody who doesn't know how to play an instrument, like a piano, and they're just banging on the keys? What are they doing? They don't even know what they're doing. There is a distinction. A good pianist knows which note to hit to get a specific sound to make a good tune. Otherwise, you don't know what's going on. Verse 8, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? You know, the cavalry used to have trumpeters that would give out a specific tune that would tell the whole battalion what to do. Mount, dismount, charge. You hear that still sometimes at ball games. You know, the charge is given. But if the trumpeter doesn't know how to play the trumpet, then would the men know what to do? No, they wouldn't know whether to charge or whether to retreat or set up camp. So likewise, verse 9, so likewise you, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall all speak into the air. If you're speaking in tongues out loud in the church with no interpretation, then you're just saying words into the air and nobody knows what's going on. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices, and the word voices could be translated to languages. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them are without signification or significance. You know, Spanish is a wonderful language. I don't understand Spanish except for a few words. It has a complete, absolute vocabulary that people can communicate scientifically, politically, every other which way. English, the same thing, the language that I'm speaking. German, I mean, well, I can't think of too many more, but I mean, there's thousands of them. They all have sounds that are significant. Every language has a sound that's significant. Therefore, verse 11, if I know not the meaning of the voice, if someone is speaking in a language that I don't understand, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, you know, a foreigner, and he that speaketh to me, speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me, a foreigner to me. There's no profit. You know, if I get off the plane in Germany and they're all talking German to me, I'm standing there all by myself, and I don't understand what's going on. If I go down to Brazil and they're speaking Portuguese, I don't know what's going on at all. You're a foreigner. And the whole point here in this particular section is to show that speaking in tongues is not designed for the church at large. It is not designed to be spoken unless it is interpreted. Remember, the whole thing in verse 2, it says, it is speaking unto God. Its primary purpose is to praise Him, to worship Him. It's not designed for the church. That's why I said the emotionalism that some churches, I mean, everybody's speaking in tongues at one time. You're going to see in this section, this is not to be done. Yet it is common practice in the Christian world among those charismatic, believing believers, because they don't discipline themselves to do what the Scripture says. People, again, are being tempted to be self-serving, selfish, and not edifying the church. It is a misuse, it is a queering of what this manifestation was designed for. Verse 11 again, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual matters, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. That's what it's all about. They're zealous. There's no question that these people are zealous. We're going to see that in a little bit here. But in the church is to be edified. Therefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. You are to have faith to pray, to interpret if you're going to speak in tongues out loud in the church. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what thou sayest? If I'm sitting here and speaking in tongues out loud in this body of believers, what are you going to know to say amen to? I mean, you can say amen, but you don't know what you're saying amen for. You know, amen means so be it. So be what? If you didn't understand what I said. Verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well. You have, when you speak in tongues, you're giving God thanks well. But in the church, the other is not edified. I thank God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Obviously, speaking in tongues is important to the Apostle Paul. Obviously, the church at Corinth is very much into speaking in tongues. See, we just read five records in the book of Acts, but we see here that this entire church is being yelled at because they're so zealous that they've misused the manifestation. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Five words in English is going to benefit you that much. If I speak 10,000 words, it won't benefit you as much as five English words. And in the church, it is most important. It is the priority that the church be edified and not that you show off. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In other words, the John McCabe translation of this verse 20 is grow up. And that's what he's saying to them. When it comes to speaking in tongues out loud in the church, there's no point unless there is an interpretation of that tongue. And if there is no interpretation, then you should not speak in tongues out loud in the church, period. I'm going to leave this at this particular place. Look at what we've seen here so far. What is this whole manifestation, this one beautiful manifestation of Holy Spirit good for? To magnify God, to speak the wonderful works of God, to praise God, to pray. It is prayer. Giving thanks well. Speaking well of God. It is to Him. It is designed for you to be able to give Him the words of praise and thanksgiving that He deserves. He is going to give you what you should say. How we should desire to have this in our life. And as I said to you before, the more you understand about what the scriptures say about a given subject like this on speaking in tongues, it is a matter simply of faith in bringing it forth in your life. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you and show you. How do you speak in tongues? Well, what it says in Acts chapter 2 It says in verse 4, it says, when they were all filled with the Spirit, they began to speak. They got the sign. You and I know what the Word of God says. It is the will of God for us to give Him praise and thanksgiving. It is the will of God for every person who believes the gospel to manifest this specific manifestation, as well as all the others. It is not left for the apostles. It is truly for all of His people. Pray, ask God, and then you do the speaking. Open up your mouth, take a deep breath, and speak in tongues the wonderful works of God.